Shiraz, you've been doing some work with inflammatory bowel disease. Could you tell me what that is, please?
Well, inflammatory bowel disease is a chronic inflammation of the bowel that affects different areas of the bowel, and there's two kinds of inflammatory bowel disease. One is called Crohn's disease, which is usually higher up in the bowel, and ulcerative colitis, which can be in multiple places. So they're both debilitating diseases, and patients sometimes have internal bleeding, they can lose part of their colon, and they're very unhappy for the most part. It's a disease that we need to focus on because Alberta has one of the higher incidences of IBD in the world, and could be something with our northern climate or cold climate, but we're not sure. But it is a problem, a health concern in Alberta.
And it's something that doesn't only affect adults. Children are susceptible to this disease as well. Is that correct?
That is true. What we're finding actually in the past years is that we're seeing a lot of cases of what's called early onset IBD. And actually, they classify it as very early onset IBD, which is usually at age 6 or younger. So, I mean, I've seen patients in the clinic that their kids are 2 years old and they have IBD. So it is a problem, and it's now recognized as a pediatric disorder.
What is the standard treatment?
The standard treatment depends on your age. Usually, if you're less than 18 years of age, it's these are kids, and the pediatric patients usually get prescribed prednisone or steroidal-based therapies, and they generally work well to control the inflammation. We're not sure exactly how they work, but they do work for kids, but they do have side effects. And if you're older than 18, it's usually at what's called anti-TNF-alpha therapy, because TNF-alpha is an important signaling molecule that drives the inflammation that these patients have. And so anti-TNF-alpha therapy will cause a dampening of the immune response and hopefully control it that way. But what happens with a lot of patients, they basically become unresponsive to TNF-alpha after a certain time. So combination therapy will have to be used later on. But there are some therapies to be used for kids and adults, and they differ because of the side effects that these therapies may have.
You've actually been working on something different that you're having some good results with, or at least it's encouraging, and that's a drug that is actually supposed to be used for something else, for leukemia. What is the drug that you're looking at now?
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about these results. So the drug is called imatinib Gleevec. It has two names. The official name is imatinib, and then the street name is sort of Gleevec. So this drug is used for chronic myelogenous leukemia patients, and kids can be affected by this, adults can be affected by this, and it's a drug that's been on the market, my guess is about 10 years now, and so this drug works very well to inhibit the key enzyme that's causing the abnormalities that these leukemia patients have. It's an enzyme called C-ABL, it's a kinase, and so this drug works really well to inhibit the activity of this kinase and therefore inhibits the damaging effects that it causes. What we found was that in inflammatory bowel disease, this kinase is also turned on or active, and it's very different from disease versus normal patients. So we were very excited that we found this because then there is a drug for it. So we thought, well, let's try it in an animal model to see if we can dampen the effects that we're seeing and control the inflammation that's present in our animals. And to our surprise, we did see that it was very beneficial. And so we're proposing that Gleevec or imatinib can be used for early onset inflammatory bowel disease patients, which are young kids. And also young adults, but we're very excited to try this on young kids that we think it could be very useful. And because it's an FDA-approved drug, you know, we should have an easier time to get it to a phase 2 trial.
Well, that's quite a leap going from leukemia to inflammatory bowel disease. What made you think to even try it?
We have an animal model to basically create the disease in mice. And so we were able to do that. Once we were able to do that, we asked the question, well, what are the changes that are occurring? So what we did, we started a detailed investigation as to what are the molecular changes that are occurring. And there's a few things that we thought could be interesting to focus on. And through a couple of multiple steps, that led us to this kinase called ABL. And when we started digging deeper and really looking at the tissues from these animals to see what is different between normal animals and disease animals, we found that this kinase is hyperactive and what's defined as being turned on. So we thought, well, then since it is turned on, then this drug could be useful to inhibit it and therefore inhibit the inflammation injury that this kinase is probably triggering. So we were very happy that it was very successful, at least in an animal model, and then we're excited to progress to the next stage, which is human trials.
So with the research that you're doing on this, then, how does it work with the animal models?
The animal models for inflammation injury, we basically expose these animals to a chemical called dextran sodium sulfate. It's a small chemical that's in the water, and the animals drink it over 7 days. And then we remove that and add regular water for another 4 or 5 days, and that mimics sort of a recovery phase. So with our animal models, normal animals will get a little sick, but they'll recover quite well. With our animals that are good models for inflammatory bowel disease, they don't recover that well, and they continue to get sick, and then they have all the classical symptoms of ulcerative colitis and IBD. So with our animal models, we can control it using this chemical, and it works very well to mimic the human conditions that the patients normally experience.
What would be the benefit of using Gleevec over the standard treatment? Does it do something to reduce side effects?
It does have some side effects, like most drugs, but I think what advantages this may have over therapies, especially for young kids where prednisone is usually prescribed first, is that prednisone is nonspecific, whereas this therapy, Gleevec therapy, is very specific for this kinase, and therefore we know in an animal model this is triggering a lot of downstream damage. And because it's more specific for this kinase, that in patients where this kinase is active, we will see a much beneficial and more specific effect. So our next phase is to really investigate the activity of this kinase in patient samples. And we have about 200 kids in our study, so we can easily do that in no time. And we've started to do those analyses. But I think the huge advantage is that its specificity is very specific for this kinase. And we think the kinase is key to understanding the inflammation damage that occurs in IBD patients.
When you first published on this, you actually received a lot of international attention. What is some of the attention that you received?
It's been quite a bit, kind of overwhelming, since we were not expecting that. We had the study published in October 2013, and since then, the journal where we published the article, they track how many people have viewed the article and downloaded the article. We have probably close to 4,000 views right now in 2 years, which is quite substantial. That means every day, every like 6 hours, someone's looking at the article. So it's incredible the attention we've had. And the U of A wrote a little article on us, and that went to different sites in the world. And as I was telling you earlier, we actually got the attention of a Hollywood director who wanted to basically write the story of what is IBD and what are some of the challenges that IBD patients have. So it's quite exciting, the attention, and we don't know how to deal with it yet, but the attention has been incredible. And which is telling us that people want new therapies. They want to feel better, and I think this drug could achieve that.
All these children now who are getting it, how does that affect their quality of life down the road, or even perhaps set them up for further disease when they grow up?
Yeah, it's a very good question. We find that a lot of IBD patients, their quality of life is definitely not as good as someone who does not have IBD. I personally know of a few pediatric patients at age 5 or 6, they were diagnosed with IBD. They're now 15, 16 years old, and they've actually lost a lot of school time during that process because they've been sick, they're unwell, they can't go to school. So a lot of time is lost for pediatric patients and also for adult patients, time off work and just being unwell. So I think that the drug could be beneficial to help these patients manage their disease better and to help them get by with a normal life. And I think this drug could be quite beneficial for that.
And what about cancer? Could it eventually set the stage for that?
So IBD is basically chronic inflammation of the intestinal area. And with chronic inflammation, we know about 1/3 of all cancers actually start from the state of chronic inflammation. So a lot of cancers, such as pancreatitis, bronchitis, the preconditioned state is a state of inflammation. And so if we don't control the inflammation, there's a high degree of cancer that may arise later in life. So for IBD patients, as an adult, you have a 20-30% chance of getting colorectal cancer. For younger kids, there is an increased chance of getting B-cell lymphomas. And so there is this risk of getting cancer later in life. So a lot of our lab is focused on cancer prevention in regards of understanding the inflammation. And if you can control the inflammation with some of the therapies we're proposing, we may be able to prevent the increase in cancer that happens later in life. So I think for patients, they welcome the thought of a drug that could reduce the inflammation and prevent cancer from happening.
Well, one of the nice things about what you're doing is, if everything is successful, because the drug is already on the market and approved, you don't have to go through the commercialization of it. It's more or less just changing guidelines. Is that it?
It is. I mean, what you'll find actually now, drug companies have sort of hit a wall with developing new therapies. And so a lot of them are going to establish drugs to repurpose them for different diseases and to see if they might be effective for different diseases. So Gleevec imatinib is one of those drugs where it's primarily used for CML patients. But I think we are going to propose repurposing it for the treatment of IBD. And as you mentioned, because it's an established FDA-approved drug, that we don't have to go through the phase 1 trials, which is basically a toxicity trial. So we are hoping, and clinicians at University of Alberta, I've talked to them about it, and they're excited about trying a phase 2 trial with Gleevec. So we're hoping in the next year that we can start a phase 2 trial and see if it might be beneficial for early onset IBD.
When could it be that it would actually be used? How long a wait might there be?
That's a good question. It depends on the responsiveness of the patients in the proposed study. So phase 2 is usually shorter than phase 1. But after phase 2, then you have to go to a phase 3, which is basically a larger number of patients in your study. So my best guess is 3 to 5 years by the time we go through all the trials. But because it's an FDA-approved drug and we know its toxicity, that I'm hoping it'll be shorter than that.
Thank you very much, Shirev.
Thank you.